Every Wednesday morning, we get to do so many cool things, and it's just a blast. This week is chapter 17, When Redundancy Gives Way to Complacency. But exciting times. We get to be here to do what? We're always learning about what not to do. Why? Because there's so many things that get in the way of our success. The enemy comes up with all kinds of fun stuff to get in the way of us being successful and being happy. And we have to be on the lookout all the time. We got to be on the lookout. And so we fortunately get this lucky time where we get to be here on Wednesday morning. Chapter 17, Redundancy Gives Way to Complacency. This message is so important, right? Because it's a tool. Things that I made up along the way that brought me closer to an understanding of Scripture. Well, you know, my mind had to be slowed down. I'm sure you understand that. My mind had to be slowed down a little bit before I could actually start paying attention to Scripture. And I made up, I knew it though, man. I knew I had to slow down. I knew I had to pay attention. I make fun of you guys sometimes and we laugh together when I say you've got the attention span of a gnat. I understand that. I understand it. So some of the antidotes and the tricks that I made to my mind to clean my mind out so I could put Scripture in it and it'd stick. You'll find some of them in each one of these lessons, but today you'll find a few new ones, and I look forward to being able to investigate them with you right now. Chapter 17, Redundancy Gives Way to Complacency. Redundancy is a tool. It can be used for good things and not so good things. Redundancy is confused sometimes with repetitive. They are different. Repetitive is doing the same thing over and over again. Redundancy is more than one system that does the same thing. Now, in writing a paper, a redundancy gets a pretty bad rap, right? In writing a paper, saying the same thing over and over again would not be so good. But I'm not talking about writing a paper. I'm talking about redundancy as a backup system. Like in a computer system or an airplane, a backup system for safety in case of failure in the first system. That's redundancy that I'm talking about today. Well, how do we use it in business? Well, just keep in mind that this is a safety system. It does the same thing as the primary system. Like in an airplane, you know, there's a primary radar system and a secondary one in case the first one fails, right? An autopilot and a secondary one in case the first one fails. That is redundancy, and that's what I'm talking about today. For instance, when we fail in accounting, which we all understand, we have a bookkeeper to correct our mistakes. Someone right there to correct the backbone of the company, I always say, right there to point out our problems or our anomalies or things that don't add up. And in addition to that, a CPA is right behind her in case we all fail, and the bookkeeper fails, or we make a mistake. We have backup systems in place to get those numbers right so that we are accurate and we have a good navigational chart, a good financial navigational chart, right? The backup or redundant system better be a good one, too. It better be a good one. Authentic, accurate, and in good working condition. Let's talk about different redundant systems. A backup person, perhaps? Yeah, in our lives, we use fellowship as a useful backup system when we're thinking incorrectly or acting incorrectly. People we trust who love us and want the best for us, they're right there to help, right? Come on, Bob, get realigned, get back in line, right? Now, God is the ultimate backup system that we use to keep us on the straight and narrow. Well, that's true. But since he's omnipotent, he's also the primary, right? He's also the number one and the backup, if you use him that way, if you keep him number one. Prayer and the study of Scripture, worship, and service are the fence, if you can picture it like that, kind of around us, keeping us safe from the dangers of sin and confusion, allowing us to do the work in the fields of the Lord, to happily do the work. Because the Lord is protecting us, but you got to get inside that fence, you know, get in under the umbrella, right, of God. Sometimes we become quite comfortable and forget to check our systems, which is what this lesson is about today. Perhaps start assessing, right, and comparing things, longing for the way it used to be, or the way things could be, or the way they should be, or the way they might be, or hope to be, or anything but staying where we should be in the moment and keeping things in order in the way it is right now, the way it is. This behavior leads me to complacency. When I get out of the right now, when I get out, you know, in the Bible it says, take care of today. You know, today's got enough stuff in it. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Take care of today. Tomorrow's got enough. You know, today's got enough challenges in it. Take care of today, and tomorrow will take care of itself. That's a good way to live. Otherwise, I start getting a little sideways, comfortable maybe in my surroundings as well. Maybe I get lazy. Maybe I'm thinking these ways because I get lazy. And thoughtful about things that shouldn't be in my head rather than keeping my head in the game. Complacency fueled by redundancy can be catastrophic. What do I mean by that? Backup systems that are also complacent. That's what I mean. Ooh, can you imagine a backup system that also fails? Wow. Well, I'm in trouble for sure if I surround myself with others that have a backup plan of being lazy, enjoying life, employing mediocre, engaging ridiculous get-rich-quick schemes of money, property, and prestige, hoping for an easy way to enjoy life. Come on, smell the roses, right? Not for you guys. You guys run companies. Our exciting times are running companies. The authority that God has given us to run these businesses and to be good examples, that's what's exciting for us. Our backup systems need to be overachiever equipment, right? Get it? The first system is to overachieve in His holy name, taking care of all the things you've been given. And when I start slipping into my old ways, my backup redundant system kicks in and keeps me on course. Like I said, airplanes have, mute your phones. Whoever said good morning, mute your phone. Airplanes have just, like I said, they have just such a system. In all elements of aviation, there is a backup computer to alert you to all critical information should the primary system fail. Well, let's check out some failed systems with redundant failing systems. Now, they're funny. You'll laugh at them, but you'll get the point, because we've all fell captive of such nonsense. Deciding charge cards are okay and sell your spouse on the idea. Failed system. Giving credit to customers without a payment schedule. They love it. Failed system. Deciding hard money lenders are good. Your employees support the idea. Failed system. Deciding that you've already read scripture, so you know what it means. And the guys at the bar agree. Failed system. Deciding you need a new, you deserve a new car. The dealer agrees. Failed system. Deciding that bookkeeping is for nerds and the cheapest CPA is the way to go. Your out of work buddies always agree. Failed system. Stealing money from your company to gamble it in silly investments. Your bookie agrees. Failed system. You get the idea. There are many bad choices and always some goofball to agree with you. Always someone to co-sign your bad behavior and a perfect example of a good system set off to the side and replaced with complacency. The danger of complacency. Some things that were said by a man named Grayson Oliver, who just simply put himself out there as a counselor and a blog contributor. I don't know who he is, but I liked what he said. A feeling of being satisfied with how things are and not wanting to try to make them any better. That's what Webster tells us that complacency is. And when we associate that with our walk with Christ, it seems a little frightening, as well as being right where Satan wants us to be. This is where we become lazy. This is where we become lukewarm. This is where we are deceived. Thank you, Grace and Oliver. Great words. Let's see what Paul has to say about it. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. This is what Paul wrote to Philippi in Philippians 1, 21 through 22. Employ commitment and the drive to work and glorify the Lord. Galatians 5, 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Now I'm going to explain what that means, but first I'm going to say, would you please check your phones and mute them, because it's so distracting to be able to teach while I hear that noise. Everyone, check it right now. And mute your phones. Mute your phones. Let's look at that Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. To kill that part of you that will destroy you. To kill those sinful things that you will do that will destroy your life. You nail them to the cross. Man, that's a cool visual. I mean, it's scary, but it's cool. You know, I invented something for me called Age Before Beauty. That's a little ditty I spun on a phrase that's been around a long time. But instead of making it about opening doors and being polite to your elders, I decided to make it way more fun for me. To kind of help me on this redundancy lesson. Think of age before beauty as work before yield. Planting before harvest. Tending to the garden before the fruit. One must put in the time. Well, one, let's say Patrick. Patrick, you got to put in the time and the process of learning to enjoy the beauty of success. Age before beauty in this context is something kind of tricky, but it's cool. As I've reinvented the phrase to mean a couple of different things. One, time and constant care must be given to any situation for beauty to be realized. The yield of what has been learned, put into practice, and succeeded. Now that's living, kids. Work hard and then see the blessing of your work given to you by the Lord. Age, put the time in and then watch the beauty grow, right? Like a flower, plant it, take care of it, and then it blooms. Yay! That's number one. Number two, learn from others, thus compressing time. Using multiple examples in different individuals as a sort of a collection of years of experience to find correct practices of what to do and what not to do. So by looking at the examples of others, you can kind of get a lot of experience by watching and learning and listening, right? You don't have to do it yourself. You couldn't get 300 years of experience, but if you talk to 10 people that are 50 years old, now we're talking, you know what I mean? Now we're talking. Things to do and not to do, right? Age before beauty, time before harvest, work before yield, beauty in the final analysis of correct living. I got another one for you. I love it. We all need our brain in order to stay in order. That's a given. For me, I needed something fun to get me back to Scripture and the cleaning up of my brain. I discovered one morning watching television with my kids, a great concept, Autobots. I decided to repurpose this term after watching a cartoon of super smart robots. In psychology, if Autobots were a real term, they'd be defined as a bazillion brilliant sparks flying around in your brain with great new ideas. Synapse is probably the correct term, but a carrier of information, a keeper of information. I just named them Autobots because I see them as cool characters, powerful, ever-changing organic mechanics that have the strength and knowledge to build your mind and possibly change the world, right? Use them. Use your mind. Because if you don't use your mind, if you want to use my Autobots as an example, they die. And so does your brain, period. Sharp thinking. Let's make a comparison here. Sharp thinking versus lazy thinking. Sharp thinking encourages rational, reason-driven, and reality-oriented ideas and practices. That's sharp thinking. Lazy thinking encourages irrational, emotionally driven, and mystical-oriented ideas and practices. Long story short, being dumb hatches dumb ideas. Being smart rises to an occasion and fosters great relationships and workable ideas. I got a saying from a guy that I liked. He's back in the 40s. He was an aviator, and his name was Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Cool dude. You can read about him. He was back in the 40s. And he was a French writer and a pioneering aviator. And he said, if you want to build a ship, don't drum up the men to gather wood, divide the work, and give orders. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea. That's cool, man. But that does require work, right? Redundancy is a backup tool. Complacency, my friends, is a choice. C.S. Lewis said in the Screwtape Letters, he writes, a moderated religion is as good as no religion at all. And it seems to coincide with Revelation 3:16 when it talks about being lukewarm in our faith. We have become complacent. Furthermore, sometimes we have even become complacent in the fact that we are complacent. Now that's a sentence, isn't it? The simple expectation of that which we expect to be is the easy part. Yet the work that is required of us, as well as some of the steps to get there, is the difficult part. We tend to listen to the enemy telling us that the work that's required to keep growing closer to Christ and to keep our faith strong is too much for us. It's too much to fit into our busy schedule, and we're doing just fine as we are. What is it about our walk with Christ that we feel we can put it on the back burner? What is it about our salvation that we feel like tomorrow is the perfect day, and then tomorrow turns into tomorrow, right? Have we lost motivation as well as our sight of what should be the driving force of our lives? Battling our own selfish desires will be one of the most difficult tasks we ever do. And we will do it for the rest of our lives. Wow, C.S. Lewis was the bomb, wasn't he? Chapter 17, when redundancy gives way to complacency. Never let it happen, kids. Fight against it. If you've got a good system, and there's a backup system to keep you in line, you'll do much better in wacky times, right? Keep learning, keep yearning, keep trying, keep moving towards the Lord. When a good system gives way and there is not a redundant good system in place, I am lost to the black forest, right? Proverbs 1, 32 and 33, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. I like that, right? So to finish, we take a step back, examine our priorities, our desires, and the condition of our faith. It is up to us and only us to combat our complacency and continue to shore up our redundant spiritual systems. Now, can you do that by yourself? As I said, it's up to us. Well, it's up to you to make the decision that you don't want to become complacent. And then the Lord, He turbocharges you. Keep your redundant spiritual systems in place. How do you do that? Let's repeat the system. The primary system, well, God, the Bible, first and foremost. Backup system number one, prayer. Backup system number two, correct relationships, keeping accountability. Backup system number three, service, stewardship, and the work and love of the Lord. Backup system number four, go to church and sing worship to the Lord of heaven. That, my friends, is an established, redundant system that can and will provide a safety net in this challenging world. Strive, strive, kids, like you do, all of you do, strive to deploy motivation. Adjust your attitude into Christ the top priority. Compel each other to worship, driven to serve, and eager to work towards the life that God calls us to live so that we may find freedom in Him. Remain in a system that keeps our selfish nature and our complacency at bay for the sake of His glory, and in doing so, oh, here it comes, my favorite saying, to be delivered from the hands of fate into the hands of destiny, into the hand of God. Amen, amen. That is your lesson today. John, I think it's time for a prayer to get these people to work and in the service of the Lord.